Hello everybody, I'm your host Harold Curtis, and I'd like to welcome you to The Space Industry by SatSearch, where we share stories about the companies taking us into orbit. In this podcast, we delve into the opinions and expertise of the people behind the commercial space organizations of today, who could become the household names of tomorrow. Before we get started with the episode, remember you can find out more information about the suppliers, products, and innovations that are mentioned in this discussion on the global marketplace for space at satsearch.com. Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's episode of the Space Industry Podcast by SatSearch. I'm joined today by Shankar Sivaprakasam from EarthEye Space, a company doing some really interesting things with space data, with satellite data. Shankar, thank you very much for being here with us today.
Thank you, Howell. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Let's dive into better understanding EarthEye and what you guys are doing. Now, from my research of the company, the way you describe EarthEye's work is offering space data on a commercial basis is really interesting. I've seen you use terms like tasking as a service, insights as a service, and reimagining the source views use workflow. Our audience will be really familiar with Earth observation applications and use cases, of course, but could you break down for us how EarthEye is specifically approaching the field and explain these a bit of these terms and the work that you're doing that might be a bit different to other companies?
So there are a number of questions there, and clearly you've been to our website. Thank you, Howell. So let me start to answer that by saying we are born as a tasking service. We don't serve archives. So as all the beginnings of most marketplaces, if you go back in history of marketplaces, they've all born as archive first. We were born tasking first, and we remain as tasking service today. But having said that, we are only 18 months old company with the product in the market for the last year. So we are relatively still very young company in scheme of things. And we were born, however, to solve two issues. One, responsive acquisition of Earth observation data, and two, multi-sensor data acquisition, right? So these are the two big issues that I found in my working in the new space world that continue to be a problem for customers, big and small, across all the different operators they were working with, right? So that's what we're born to solve. Now, but we wanted to do that in an affordable way. Hence the as-a-service subscription business model. So no large contracts or commitments, but just small subscription to get started. So that's the reason we are the world's first tasking as a service in a business model. Now, having gotten to that point, we are also looking to solve, just similar to accessibility and affordability issue that we have solved, there's the usability issue today. And the usability is not just about visualizing and interpreting the Earth observation data in whatever sensor modality it might have been collected on, but also getting that interpretation on time. So we believe the information velocity is the most important, and that has to happen in minutes and not in hours and days as it happens today. So we decided to solve that by turning the tasking workflow also into an information extraction workflow. So it's the same workflow that not only tasks the satellites, but also extracts the information containing the task data in near real time and delivers that as an information to the customer who tasks the satellites or tasked a sensor for their certain data. So we charge that information also as a service. Hence, you see tasking as a service or information as a service. The last thing I think you mentioned is this source views use workflow, which again, something we talk about on our website. So what we have done with and from multi-sensor direct tasking is to extract that information in the new source views use workflow, right? So the ability to task multiple sensors in the same direct tasking workflow, direct here meaning the customer is self-serving the tasking, and to be able to extract the information contained in that sensor or sensors, if you happen to have tasked multiple sensors in the same workflow, is what we are talking about when we reimagine the source views use workflow.
Okay, well, very interesting. Yes, fascinating that you started, and as you say, only 18 months old, but yes, started from the point of view of tasking first rather than selling the archive. I understand that. There's a number of companies out there doing that. A focus on something a bit different, and from the end user's customer's standpoint, is really interesting. So is it possible for you to give us some examples of the satellites or the constellations that you
you have access to and the data that you can get from them?
Yeah, so we are already, we were by midway point of our last 18 months, we are already the largest satellite aggregator, and we continue to remain the largest satellite aggregator for direct tasking. So we're talking about in that category. I see ourselves as a category creators because we're solving a very specific problem with a very unique capability here, which is direct tasking by customers across all the sensor modalities. By that, we have all the multispectral, SAR, thermal, greenhouse gas, RF, when I talk about comms, right? And then AIS, and the list goes on in various spatial, spectral, temporal resolutions, right? Everything from 30 centimeter to 5 meter in optical, everything from 25 centimeter to 2.5 meter in SAR, various capabilities around thermal, greenhouse, RF, and so forth, RF, X-band, S-band, L-band. So all of these are, so you by this you would have realized that we are not just an imagery tasking platform. We are also non-imagery or other sensors. So that's why we broadly talk about ourselves as an Earth observation tasking platform and not just imagery tasking platform. And we will soon have hyperspectral available on our platform for direct tasking, as there isn't a single hyperspectral for direct customer tasking today. And fingers crossed, we'll be the first to make that available in a couple of weeks. So in addition to all the sensor modalities I mentioned, we will also have hyperspectral and others coming on board soon after.
Okay, cool. Nice. Good luck. Yeah, good luck bringing that on board as well. So in the testing that your customers are able to carry out, you mentioned like the swath of different data that can be collected there. And what sort of technical challenges are you seeing or have you come up against with regards to collating or fusing those different data sources into a useful product for your customers?
Yeah, that's a great question, right? So back to first principles, the very first thing we had to do was to be able to collect multiple sensor data in the same tasking workflow, right? So the analogy we often talk about is we are like the Uber Eats for satellites, right? Your ability to collect multiple sensor data in the same task flow. And what it also means is not just collecting them within a certain time of interest over your area of interest, but also to be able to collect them as close as possible for it to sometimes make sense of the different sources of data that you can overlay or you can start to fuse. Until we have a capability where a satellite will capture different sensor modalities from the same bird, like some folks are planning to put optical and SAR together in the same bird, right? Until we get to that point, and that will have its own challenges. What we have done is to be able to bring passes close enough from multiple operators so that you can collect the different data sets, different sensor data for your multimodal data purposes, use cases, and in the same workflow. So that is easier said than done. So we managed to achieve that. And then just not the ability to collect them in a single workflow, but if things were to go wrong, how do you handle them? Because now you are dealing with multiple operators, with multiple processes, systems, governance. So everything from rejection to cancellations to every other thing in between, failure of collection as well, it happens sometimes. It's not very reliable to believe that I'll be lying if I said 100% collection. It doesn't happen because sometimes the satellites will collect, but the data is garbage, right? So it also happens. So we have to deal with all those different scenarios. Imagine now we are dealing not that n is equal to 1, but we are now dealing that with n is equal to, let's say we have over 300 plus satellites at the moment going up to 450 by end of the year. So we have to deal this across all these 450 different satellites with all the different sensor modalities. That's a hard problem. That's what we have solved. And then as you start to then talk about the fusion at the data level, so I just talked about the fusion at the multi-sensor level, but now at the collection level, but fusion at the data level, that's a different set of problems, as you would know, right? So you know, everything from analytics-ready data to creating fused product data, so fusing optical with SAR or fusing spatial spectral resolution of one sensor with another sensor, that will open up a whole new world of opportunities for our customers because they are not anymore certain sensor dependent. They are more capability dependent. So that's the harder work that is getting started, right? So in doing that, getting the sensor characteristics from operator is not often easy. You have to get behind the hoods, get into the tent with the different operators to be able to bring those data sets together so you can fuse them.
Fascinating. As you say, it's a hard problem, the factorial problem with different data sets and across different satellites. Interesting. So obviously the success of EarthEye is going to scale in proportion to the uses of satellite data by your end users. And that's true of the industry as a whole. It's also true of the satellite operators and those launching them, etc. So when it comes to the actual end users, the people who are using the data that you're able to give them and the insights you're able to give them from your collection work, are you seeing any particular challenges, or are there any emerging opportunities maybe that are not being really gone after?
Yeah, so another great question, right? So I came into founding this company with a thesis, and I come from a big data, big content background. I worked at a company called OpenText for 3.5+ years before coming into space. So I learned a lot about how do you codify unstructured big data, just like system of records are, right? But how do you codify the bigger data sets, which is all the unstructured big data content? So when we look at geospatial data, it squarely falls into that category, right? Very large data sets. And yes, it has some level of codification through metadata, but lots of the data still has to be interpreted and codified, right? So one of the things we started when we were doing was, yes, we need to, if I have to get information in near real time in the hands of customers so that they can ingest that information into their operational and decision workflows, and that is the only way we are going to make Earth observation data pervasive in the use of day-to-day running of the business, whether it's a business of commercial or business of government. The problem statement is still, how do you make that information available in that near real time? So that's why we said, in order to do that, we have to go and get the data in real time or near real time. So that's why we created this direct tasking. So direct tasking of this multi-sensor, multimodal data is a means to the end of getting the information and insights in near real time into the workflows of our customers so that they can then ingest that, whether it's in asset monitoring or whether it is in emergency response or keeping the borders safe, whatever might be the workflow or processes the customers are working with. And that's where we started to deliver EarthEye feeds, right? So the EarthEye feeds, which is a continuum of the tasking. So EarthEye SAT tasking is a direct tasking platform, and EarthEye feeds is a continuum of that same tasking workflow. It's the same workflow. And that today delivers this, for example, very simple GeoJSON file, but with very rich information that is extracted from the task data, whether it's a single or multi-source task data. But tomorrow that will also be available as an API endpoint. So we want to make sure geospatial data and information is easily consumed inside the organization. So that's what we're working towards.
Interesting. Yeah. That focus on how the data is used is going to be crucial, isn't it? And I think you guys are the coal face of that. You're the satellite builders, the subsystem manufacturers are a couple of steps removed. But yeah, it's very important that you're able to help provide the data in a way that is, yeah, perfectly useful for them.
Well, today we can deliver like multimodal based earth feeds, right? Feeds in different use case context, right? So it could be vessel detection to, could be transshipment, illegal transshipment to, deforestation and loss of biomass to, in mining context, talk about tailings dam integrity to greenhouse gas volumetric calculation. So we can deliver all those feeds from tasking to delivery. Tasking takes whatever time it takes in terms of collection. And if you do an emergency tasking, you can get the data within 1 hour from collection. But regardless of whether it's an emergency tasking or standard tasking and whatever time SLAs we deliver, that's other thing we deliver on our platform. We operate on service level agreements across various sensors and taskings. And once the data are delivered, anything from 3 to 10 minutes, we deliver this information as a feed. So that's how we brought it. The information velocity and the latency has been significantly improved or reduced, depending on how you look at it. Information velocity or latency has significantly reduced. Yeah. And velocity has improved.
Yeah, I understand. But What role does, if any, if it does play a big role, does standardization and maybe even regulation play in what you're able to do around the world?
Yeah, that's a tough one. So for a customer, I'm going to say this from a customer point of view, right? For them, it's a regulation. If they're using Earth observation data or any information and insights derived from it, it's imperative that they have the auditability, right? So they have to be able to go back and point to the source from where they made the decision, right? The information could have been extracted and given to them, or some insight could have been derived, but the source, access to source and traceability to source is very important from a regulation standpoint. So it also means then organization must have the ability to trace back, right, underlying geospatial data. So that is the biggest standardization requirement, the regulatory requirement, sorry. The standardization requirement is more like, think of a standardization as, you know, how we get power today, right? We have one workflow for power, regardless of which grid the electricity comes from, right? Or one workflow for trading across multiple stock exchanges, right? So the same thing. We can extend the same analogies, you know, to Uber or Uber Eats or Airbnb. So they're all predicated. If you look at all these, you know, different utilities we have come to rely on, and I look at Earth observation moving forward as another utility, they're all predicated on standardized workflows, right? Regardless of the resource variety, the resources are varied, right? It could come from various grids, various sources, renewables or non-renewables, but I still get the power at home when I flick a switch. Same thing happens when I trade across multiple exchanges. Earth observation has to get there. That is why we started working towards this standardized tasking. So what we have offered to the market today is the first standardized and simplified tasking capability. Because we achieved that, on the back of it, now we are able to deliver these information feeds in near real time within a few minutes. That is what standardization allowed us to do.
Brilliant. Thank you. Yeah, I really like those analogies, by the way. I always think space industry in general makes good use of analogies. That's great that in helping people understand this. Now, thank you. I think you've shared so much with us today about what EarthEye does and how you guys are approaching the market and everything. So I just had a bit of a final question to wrap up. Now, you obviously need to take quite a broad view of what satellites and constellations and capabilities are coming online in the space industry in general, because you're obviously able to hopefully incorporate some of them, and or if not as many as you can, into your data as data sources. So I wondered what you were most kind of looking forward to over the next few years in the space industry. What are you excited about witnessing, and what things coming online, whether or not it pertains to EarthEye's work?
Yeah. So one of the things we see, you know, when we talk to our customers and our prospects, I often, to my own surprise, I get asked, what about LiDAR? What about LiDAR from space? Because they see all these different sensor modalities on our platform, and there isn't in the LiDAR yet, right? Yet is the keyword. So I chuckle and I talk about up and coming LiDARs. So it's very interesting that customers are now thinking that we can get a centimeter level LiDAR capability also from space, which is true, which is what some of the new market entrants in that space, no pun intended, are planning to do, right, from next year, 2025, 2026. So that's one thing where I'm very excited about. And the other one is hyperspectral. I think hyperspectral has huge potential. We've seen customers wanting hyperspectral. The other one that is it's really unmet need is thermal. Right. So thermal infrared, shortwave infrared is medium wave infrared is hugely in demand for both defense and non-defense, especially around climate and urban heat and so forth. So we are excited to see that more players will come there. The other one I'm excited about, Howell, is VLEOs, right? Today, all of operator partners are all LEO constellations. And a point I want to make is it's not just the commercial operators we onboard on our platform for direct tasking by customers. We also have government dual-use satellites. So this is nation states with dual-use assets are all also on our platform for direct tasking. So I think it's quite unique in that regard. But we are excited to see the VLEO, very low Earth orbit constellations entering the market from 2025, 2026 onwards. So We're closely watching that, and I think that'll create some new capabilities. And then obviously multi-sensor satellite, right? So we have created a multi-sensor capability terrestrially on the ground, but there are startups talking about multi-sensor on a single bird or satellite, not just RF and optical, that's been done, but optical and SAR, for example. So that's, we are also watching that and wish them good luck, because that's going to be also, again, quite innovative if you get it to work. And then, yeah, we'll just continue to be, as EarthEye, we'll continue to be that default platform for responsive acquisition of space-borne data or Earth observation data. You know, when you need, see, tagline, Hawal, is as responsive acquisition, what does it mean? It's really about when you need it, where you need it, with what sensors you need, and the price point you need, because we are also a choice platform. If you talk about 30 centimeter, there isn't just one 30 centimeter. There are multiple 30 centimeters in multiple spectral resolutions. So we also a choice platform for customers, and customers exercise the choice. So that's what we will continue to be. But it also will become a go-to platform for information feeds, just like how Bloomberg Terminal is like is pervasive, right? It's a default terminal on every broker's desk. We want to be that go-to platform for information feeds, because that's the vision we are working towards.
Fantastic. Thank you, Shankar. That's a great place to wrap up. I think you shared, like I say, shared loads of information about how you guys are working and approaching the market. And then also, just in answer to that final question there, you can, I think our listeners can see that there's a lot of opportunity, as you said, a lot of unmet need in certain areas for anybody looking to build satellites, and also anybody obviously looking to create new business cases, applications, services with the data that satellites are able to generate, and companies like EarthEye are able to get you access to. Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you for sharing all this information with us and being on our podcast today.
Thank you, Hawal. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Great, thank you. And to all our listeners, thank you very much too for you spending time with us today on the Space Industry Podcast. We'll share links to EarthEye's work in the show notes. And yeah, we'd love it if you enjoy the show, if you could give us an honest rating and review on your favorite platform, your favorite podcast player. Please stay tuned to the next episode, where we'll be talking to more of the companies in today's modern space industry who are taking all of us into orbit. Thank you. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Space Industry by SatSearch. I hope you enjoyed today's story about one of the companies taking us into orbit. We'll be back soon with more in-depth, behind-the-scenes insights from private space businesses. In the meantime, you can go to satsearch.com for more information on the space industry today, or find us on social media if you have any questions or comments. To stay up to date, please subscribe to our weekly newsletter, and you can also get each podcast on demand on iTunes, Spotify, the Google Play Store, or whichever podcast service you typically use.